Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always, recording Wednesday, January 25th. Got a big guest coming on the show, Ryan Nanny. We just finished that interview with him. Really fun. Talk about a lot of stuff. I did just realize, I think I got his name right when I introduced him, but I think I might have said it wrong when we exited out. So that's my bad.
I guess we'll find out when we release this tomorrow.
Yeah, when I'm editing, I'll go find that out. We talk about a lot of stuff with him. Talk about, you know, if you could put Stetson Bennett in any program, where would that be? If you could put Jim Harbaugh at any program, where would that be? We end up talking about Vanderbilt baseball quite a bit. We talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's cool. You know, us not living in the South, like I feel like Jake has a lot of insights about like Arizona recruiting and Utah recruiting and stuff, but not living out there, there's obviously things that we miss. So he gives us some cool insights that I had not considered, but I think are very important. So
some nuanced stuff, yeah. And we're also, like, after the interview, we're going to talk about, you know, the NFC, AFC championships. Big game for Matt and I this week, Eagles playing the Niners. I got a top five that I don't know. Matt's had an answer to all of them. I don't know how much of an answer he's going to have for this one.
I'm sure I'll come up with something.
Yeah, before we get to the interview with Ryan, is there anything we want to talk about that I've missed off the top?
Probably not that you want to talk about too much. The world of Dungeons and Dragons is just totally falling apart, but we don't have to spend a lot of time on that.
No, I'll bite. Let's...
Yeah. So basically,
I didn't know there was a world. I thought it was just a game.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It is kind of just a game. But Hasbro bought the company that does the Dungeons and the Dragons. And they said, hey, people buy our books once, and then we don't get any more money out of them. So they're trying to turn it into like a kind of like a video game where you got to pay every month to get these new upgrades and you get new weapons and stuff.
Like a subscription type thing?
Yes. Yeah. They want more people to subscribe, and then they give you new spells and new character options and that sort of thing. And so that's one thing that's going on. Like, that's why you've seen they're doing a Dungeons & Dragons movie. They're doing a Dungeons & Dragons TV show.
They are?
They are. But now nobody's going to see it because they're so mad about all this subscription stuff.
Couldn't you just hypothetically, like, just play with the books you already have?
Well, I think that's what people are going to do, and so now they're freaking out because they're not going to be able to make new stuff, which maybe is not going to matter. I don't know.
You know, and this, we talk about college football with this, like, money just ruins everything, even though that's what drives everything.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it sucks, like, without money, we wouldn't have anything, but it also ruins everything, like, the reasons we like this stuff.
Right.
College football and Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. It all, you know, circles back to money.
It all circles back to money. So we do, well, that's a bummer. I'm sorry for you.
I mean, I wasn't, you know, it's not going to change anything for me, so.
Don't you,
like,
play?
You said, you just have the books.
Oh, yeah, I guess yeah. That's true.
No, I haven't actually played too much since college. Like I'll play every, you know, year or two, but I don't have, like, a regular group now that I'm not at BYU anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot of stuff in this podcast that makes BYU sound awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
I mean, it wasn't like everybody at BYU was playing Dungeons & Dragons, but...
So that's our Dungeons & Dragons update. In the Ryan Pot episode, or interview, we also hit on our Keeping Up with the Wilson segment.
Yeah.
Unintentionally. So a lot to look forward to in that. And then after that, we'll talk about, you know, again, the championship games, my top five, or our top five of the week as well. But here's the interview with Ryan. All right. Welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. We're joined by special guest Ryan Nanny. Ryan, appreciate you joining the show. Did I get your last name right?
You did. Yeah. Yeah. It's just as mockable by middle schoolers as you would think. So good job.
Perfect. Well, yeah, I love your show, so I appreciate you coming on. And like we were talking pre-air, we're podcast, I think, number 14 for
that
you.
I'm starting to lose count, but that somewhere around that range. Yeah.
I love it. Well, before we get into any college football stuff, just kind of walk, because, you know, I do this once a week, and I think that's hard to make time for. So how are you doing this, like, every other day, basically?
You know, neglecting family obligations is a big part of it. No, it's I find that hosting a podcast is a lot of work and requires a lot of, like, organization and planning and all the stuff you're talking about. But guesting on a podcast is, like, very low stress compared. Like, I just show up and you tell me what we're going to talk about, and I try to be an acceptable level of stupid, and then we're good, and then it's all gravy. So I find this to be like a nice way to sort of break up the day or the night, depending on whatever's going on when we're recording. So
yeah, well I discovered you from, you know, I see this Eddie Murphy profile pop up, yes, on Twitter. I was like, oh, this guy's kind of funny. And then you do the – I didn't click that you're the same guy who's on the Shutdown Fullcast with Spencer, who, yes, is awesome. How did that get started, the Shutdown Fullcast that you do with Spencer?
Oh, man. So I'm going to see if I can get this history right. Jason and Spencer originally had a YouTube video series called the Shutdown Fullback, which that's like – I don't know, like 2012 or something at this point. It's old. And they maybe did that for like a year, and then they shut that down. And that turned into the Shutdown Full Cast, which I don't know if I was there right at the beginning, but I was there pretty close to it, and Holly was there pretty close to it as well. So it's all born out of this like extremely old and extremely weird video series that those two did that somehow turned into a college football podcast. I know that doesn't make sense, but that's also the truth.
Yeah, no, well, and college football, because like when I tell people you're coming on the show, unless they're like a college football nerd, they don't know what I'm talking about.
Correct. Yes, that is the right response.
Yeah, and I to people who aren't college football nerds, I was trying to describe your show, and I honestly just didn't have words for it. What do you tell people when they ask what the show is about?
So we infamously say it is the internet's only college football podcast. But I think it is mostly a like weird stream of consciousness improv podcast from four people who don't have any improv training and aren't comedians that is sometimes about college football. And by sometimes, I mean, like, there will definitely be episodes where we won't mention college football at all. There are others where it's, like, very much about college football. But where a, let's say, a regular college football podcast will be, like, here's what's going on in the sport, and here's what we think about it, and here's some, like, smart analysis on it. We are mostly there to make jokes and goofs and go off on confusing tangents.
Well, it is very funny, and there are a lot of tangents. You did get some football. I was listening to the Georgia episode where you kindly didn't mention TCU. and you got some Georgia. What are your thoughts on Stetson Bennett? Because I'm low on him. Other people love him. Where do you fall on the Stetson Bennett spectrum?
I think I'm at the point where I'm like, I have to respect him at this point. Like, I have to respect what Stetson Bennett has accomplished. And I can recognize that, like, there are a lot of caveats that go with that. He is surrounded by a ton of talent. He has a really, really good offensive coordinator who knows like exactly how to tweak Georgia week to week, in game, whatever, like calls a really good game. Am I going to say like Stetson Bennett's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen play? No, but I am also like forced to admit that he's probably better than we all thought he was. Like, I don't have any choice but to sort of acknowledge that, like, yeah, dude can play. I don't know what that means, and I'm not like, oh, you know, you should take him over C.J. Stroud or something crazy like that. But begrudging respect is where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm starting to get the feeling that, you know, this being his last year in college football, I'm looking at what could happen. And I'm thinking he might be wearing a baseball cap for 15 years. Best job in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what he has like a real vibe of is second, third stringer that you're talking about, who like every 3 years gets a start and puts up like pretty good numbers. And people are like, I don't know, maybe we should. And then that's it. And then like we go 3 more years and then it's like, oh, Stetson Bennett got his. And he leaves the NFL and you're like, yep. Threw 107 passes. 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, like, but did that for 10 years. And we're all just like super proud of him.
Now, want to stress, this is all on the spot. We haven't really prepared any of this. So if this, any off guard questions, I apologize, but
now go for it.
If we could run a societal experiment where you could put assuming 2022 season, Stetson Bennett on any team and replace Georgia's quarterback with that team's quarterback, if that makes sense.
Yeah. If we're just doing a straight one-to-one swap.
Yeah, just a trade, one-to-one.
And I need to stay within college football for this. I can't get too crazy. Okay.
I mean, you can get crazy.
Okay. Because what I really want to do is I want to put Stetson on the Jets, and I want to put Zach Wilson on the Bulldogs, because Zach Wilson just stinks out loud. And, like, in a way that we've seen lots of quarterbacks come through the NFL and have a bad time, but I can't remember one who had this bad of a time. I mean, I can. It's Ryan Leaf, and that's, like, a long time ago, and he was dealing with some shit. But it's rare to have this bad of a time and also make your team so mad at you. And I don't think that would work at Georgia, and I would be really delighted to see how bad it would go. And at the same time, I think, like, Stetson Bennett's decision-making is probably better than Zach Wilson, so it's probably an upgrade for the Jets at this point. So that's the answer I'm going to go with.
I mean, that's not what I was expecting, but I think that's great.
Oh, my God. What I think is so funny about it is because we went to BYU, and I think both of us, when it came out number two, were like, ooh, I don't know about this. And partially because the Jets are just a disaster all the time. And then watching this year, it's like, no, well, they seem to have figured it out. And he specifically seems to be the problem.
Right, right. And that's it's really rare to be the obvious problem on the Jets, because you're right. Usually you can just be like, well, the coaches stink, or they have no offensive line, or this wide receiver hates being there. And, like, Zach Wilson is in the unfortunate position right now where it's just like, oh no, everyone has pretty much settled on you being the thing that is holding. Like, when the New York media is like, we just got to stick with Mike White, like, that's the solution. You're like, oh no, things have turned.
Western Kentucky is turning into a quarterback factory.
You're right.
The Zap Man, I think, should have been the starter in New England. Austin Reed could get drafted next year. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing out there, but
I feel bad for Zap Man, because Bill O'Brien going back to the Pats, like, that feels like, oh, we're really trying to make this Mac Jones thing work.
Which is I'd be depressed if I was a New England fan.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah.
We actually have a segment on the show called Keeping Up with the Wilson. So you unknowingly crossed that.
I'm happy I could line up with that.
Yeah. Another podcast, I've been, like, cranking through this, the Michigan podcast you guys did a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Jim Harbaugh. I think, so I'm a 49ers fan, so I'm very familiar with Jim Harbaugh. He's such a unique personality. Let's do the same thing. If you could swap Jim Harbaugh for comedic purposes with one coach anywhere, where would you
put him? Wow. Gosh, okay. Let's give me a Harbaugh Dabo swap, because I think, like, even though in some ways they are not that different, I think Dabo's particular brand of, like, openly evangelical, very much leaning into, like, a sort of traditionalist view of college football, kind of prickly, does not deal super well with criticism. I don't think that's going to play super well at Michigan. And, like, what would people in Clemson, South Carolina even make of Jim Harbaugh? Like, the culture shock alone would be valuable, to say nothing of, like, Jim Harbaugh being, like, having to sort of, like, gear up for the South Carolina game. That's a thing he has to do now. Jim Harbaugh has to, like, shake hands with Matt Brown at the ACC championship, and it's all going to look so wildly out of place. Although, you know what? There is one thing that's really going to work. Jim Harbaugh is going to run down the hill like nobody, like, he will absolutely love that part of it, because if there's a chance to exercise in public, Jim Harbaugh is all over it.
Well, Dabo is hitting like 4-6 times when he's running down.
Yes. And that will be motivation for, like, Jim will have somebody on staff be like, time me. I want to make sure that I was faster than Dabo.
How hard do you think it'd be to get the coaches to agree to like a combine? Because I think if ESPN put that on, like timing running down the hill or like a milk chugging contest, I think
yeah. That. You could definitely get the right coaches to do. Here's the thing. If you say like, hey, this is just going to be like for TV or whatever, they won't do it. But if you're like, oh man, recruits would love this. That is all you have to say to be like, well, if it's going to get the 5 stars in, all right, where do I put on my wrestling singlet and go try to pin Dabo?
Man, now I'm just thinking like of coaches I'd love to see. Obviously, primetime.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I want to see like the elder statesman at the, like, I want like Kirk Ferentz. Like Kirk Ferentz seems like he stays in pretty good shape for a man his age. Like, can he motor? Does he still got it, surprisingly? Or is he more like old man basketball where it's like the physical skills aren't there, but he knows how to throw an elbow?
Yeah, like he's got that dad strength where he can pick his spot.
Yes, yes.
Now, Kirk Ferentz, like, I was one of the weirdest programs in the country, and that was just extrapolated with his son being probably the worst coordinator, not to be, you know, dramatic, but what would it take for you to fire your son? Like, I'm trying to think of a scenario where that's not awkward for everybody.
Sure.
Better.
Well, looking at past practice, this is infamously more or less why Mark Richt stepped down at Miami, is they wanted I think they wanted him to fire his son, who I want to say was the DC. I could have that wrong. He wouldn't do it. Lane Kiffin has fired his father before. I think that happened while he was at USC. And there are certainly guys who have had like a brother on staff. The Stoops brothers are always sort of floating around in pairs and things like that. And it kind of comes in there. But yeah, I think father firing son is like a particularly tricky thing. I mean, the other great example here, which eventually did happen, is Bobby and Jeff Bowden. But it took like a long, long time and a lot of disappointment. It did eventually happen, but even that, I want to say, looking back on it, like the way they postured that was Jeff went to Bobby and was like, I need to not be here anymore. I like, this isn't working and it's a problem. So I don't know that I can think of an example where dad has gone to son and been like, yeah, I gotta let you go. So as long as Brian doesn't go to Kirk and be like, dad, this is a bad plan. But like, I think transparently the problem here is that from all accounts, Kirk wants Brian to get the job to succeed him. And it's really hard to make that happen if you fire him. So I don't know. Like, I don't see a good way forward for it, frankly.
Wasn't that a thing at Kansas State where Snyder wanted his son and everyone, but Bill Snyder like was like, that's a stupid idea. That's not.
Yes. Yes. I believe that happened as well. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And like, yeah, I don't know why college football dads are like this, but maybe they're no different than regular dads in some respects.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you keep up with World Cup stuff, but did you see the Reyna?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're right. That's a good comp here as well.
Speaking of crazy dads, and Speaking of Iowa, I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, but with conference realignment, is there any new rivalry you're looking forward to more than UCLA Iowa? Chip Kelly,
you're gonna hate that so much. I mean, delighted that Texas and Texas A&M actually will have to play each other. Super excited to see that happen. It's going to be weird because I think even the schools for whom realignment has worked, which the list is, I mean, financially the list is everyone. Football wise, the list is a little less distinguished, but like, who is Utah's rival in the Pac-12 at this point? Utah's had a good run in the Pac-12, but like, you don't get the sense that, oh, they have really developed like a meaningful back and forth relationship with this school. And I mean, it's like, I don't know if that's going to happen, frankly.
Yeah, they want it to be Colorado really, really bad.
Sure.
Pac-12.
So, and it's just not going to happen.
The fans don't like USC, but I think that's like everyone hates the Los Angeles Dodgers and no one,
right?
Like, Dodgers don't care about anybody.
Right.
Like,
and USC's dance card is full at this point. It's like USC's not going to take on Utah. Like, for it to work, both sides have to bring some investment to it. And USC is just definitely, I mean, even if they weren't leaving, USC is just not going to do it.
No, they got like UCLA's maybe their third biggest rival, Stanford.
Right.
US Notre Dame and stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because you have other, like, if you don't think of that, Utah and TCU, I think, are the two biggest winners of realignment. But, yep. Like, TCU, I mean, SMU, TCU isn't as big as, like, Utah, BYU necessarily, but
right,
that's second week of the season at this point. It's kind of
And TCU at least can sort of say, like, well, just being top dog in Texas is, like, there's an internal rivalry there that is more than two teams, and that probably flies. TCU Baylor has certainly had like some good back and forth that I think has been productive for both teams and both fan bases. So like, but that's also a thing where they can sort of say like, these are kind almost ancestral ties that we're talking about. And so much of that is like, you know, it's based on this city doesn't like that city. And, yeah, it's just it's hard to do. And for, to your point, for UCLA and USC, it's like, yeah, it's not gonna, I mean, they're not gonna be like, oh man, finally the USC Maryland rivalry game is back, what people have been craving this whole time.
Yeah, what's your, and not necessarily think is the best rivalry, but what's your favorite college football rivalry?
It's a real old man answer. I think Army Navy is really great. I like that it's where it is in the season. I like that it has like a lot of fun tradition associated with it. It is probably the only rivalry left that is still enjoyable, even if the teams aren't good. Most rivalries at this point, you really need like some larger stakes to it for people to pay a lot of attention. But Army Navy still has a lot going for it. Other than that, I like a lot of the interconference rivalries. Like, I think as long as they sort of have some competitiveness to them, Georgia Tech is not a good rivalry at this point. But South Carolina Clemson has a lot of fun history going on. When Michigan and Notre Dame decide that they care about one another, that's a lot of fun. Stanford Notre Dame has had like, Stanford's not great at this point, but they did win that one this year. Like I like the ones that cross conference borders and sort of hold on to things because I think they are kind of this like weird and cool vestige of what college football used to be when it wasn't just about like win your conference, don't schedule that hard out of conference. Like it's kind of a neat little window into the past. And so those are the kind of rivalries that I kind of gravitate towards the most.
Yeah. When I was growing up, Michigan Notre Dame was a huge game. Yeah. I know they're playing this season, but Nebraska Colorado.
Yep.
Awesome game that.
Yes. Yes. That has, I mean, some of the most important games in college football history have come in that rivalry. And it's just now it's like, well, sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. What I mean, West Virginia Pitt is another one that like finally this year made it back onto the rotation. But yeah, I think all of those are the ones that like stick out to me more than like, oh, we play every year because we're in the same division.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, there's not really anything anyone can do about it because, you know, money's money, but yep. It's kind of a bummer, but at the same time, no one's not watching any of these games. I'm going to watch UCLA Rutgers, but not going to enjoy it.
That's true. I mean, most of those fans aren't either, so you're in good company at least.
Now, I have one more question. Matt might have one before I let you go. you this season went to a Vanderbilt football game, Vandy, Tennessee, I think.
Yes, correct.
Now, that's not top five on most people's bucket lists. You happen to be in Nashville, or what's a Vanderbilt football game?
Okay, so important context. I live in Nashville, and I live walking distance from the stadium.
Okay.
Like it's not like a short walk, but it is walkable. And so that plays into it a lot. That game in particular, that had more to do with, like, my wife and my brother-in-law are both Tennessee fans. And at the time when we bought the tickets, it was like, okay, maybe this is going to be like Tennessee's last game before they go to the SEC championship and maybe go to the playoff. And like, it would be a cool opportunity to see like the best Tennessee team in 15 years or 25 years, whatever it is. Locally before they go off to these other things that we're not going to attend. Obviously didn't work out that way. They still stomped Vanderbilt, and B, because Nashville is the way that it is, that stadium was conservatively 80-20 Vols fans. Like there were not, here's the real bummer of it. Because it was the last game, the last home game for Vandy of the year, it was senior night. And so most of the Vandy, not most, but a good chunk of the Vandy fans that were there were parents of players. And this was a game, I forget what the final was. I want to say it was like 65-0 or something. If it's not that, it's close to that. In the rain, in the cold, and Vandy parents just had to sit there and watch the Doors completely take it on the chin for four quarters in miserable weather, all because it was senior night. That sucks.
Does Vanderbilt, and I'm not too familiar with the Vandy program, but do they just have football so they can stay in the SEC and win baseball championships?
I think that is a big part of it. I think that's a big part of it. And there is like some part of the fan base to whom football is an important thing. And also, like, I think there are people that one of the problems Vandy has had for years is that season tickets have been so cheap that, and I don't know if they've fixed this or not, but for a while, if you were like, okay, Bama's on the rotation this year and they're coming to Nashville. Well, Bama fans who lived in or around Tennessee would be like, well, I'll just buy Vanderbilt season tickets just for that game. And like, that's a thing that happens at other schools, but here's the thing that doesn't happen at other schools. The rest of the Vandy schedule, they don't bother to resell the tickets. They just go to waste. So Vanderbilt for years had chunks of season tickets that were really just people buying cheap tickets for one game. And otherwise those tickets were going unused and untransferred. And that is a really bad way to build a football fan base, as it turns out.
That I never would have get. That's interesting.
Yeah,
because Nashville's such like in a, like I know Atlanta's kind of the center of the South, but Nashville's a heart of a lot of stuff. You think they'd be able to get? It'd be easy to recruit there. Now you know Nashville better than us, but you think it'd be easier to recruit? It's so close to a bunch of metro areas as well. In addition to high school football's there, really.
Yeah. I mean, all of that is true. I think the big problem is that, like a lot of small private schools, Vanderbilt does not have like a huge alumni base from which to pull money. And for many years, Vanderbilt had a really weird, in retrospect, setup where the athletic director was also the dean of the law school. And I think he was maybe also a law professor. And so they were... Vanderbilt, until maybe recently, has not been a school that, outside of baseball, as you've already pointed out, has been like, no, we're really going hard into athletics. And that is the thing where I think they're sort of trying to figure out if they want to do that or not. But like, to the extent that college football is an arms race fought with money, Vanderbilt has not been aggressively fighting it for, I don't know, 20, 30 years at this point.
Do they just like the baseball coach? Like, do you know why? This is turning into a Vandy podcast.
Yeah. I think the baseball thing is So I'm not like a huge college baseball expert, but I think part of what Vandy figured out there is that they could tell guys who were good enough to maybe get drafted out of high school, like, hey, come to Vanderbilt. You'll get you'll start a good education here, which if baseball doesn't work out, you'll be able to continue. And also they had enough invested into like training and development and had, you know, like a lot of good pros have come out of the Vanderbilt base. It's not just a program that's successful in college on its own terms. And I think they've been able to point to that and been like, this is a good developmental opportunity for you. In the same way that like a lot of this, you know, the sales pitch for Bama is not, we win SEC titles and national championships. The sales pitch for Bama is come here and you will be a first or second rounder and you'll make a lot of money. Like, we will help you get prepared for the next level. That is the thing that Vandy baseball has made its thing and has successfully pitched a lot. And that was an accidental pun, pitched a lot of amateur, like high schoolers on like, come do a year or two here and you will slot higher in the baseball draft, and that means more money for you down the road. And it's like a really, it's a pretty successful like argument that they can make.
You know, I had an outline of things to talk about. Vandy baseball was not on that. But I like college baseball, so I enjoyed talking about it.
Sure.
Perfect. Again, Ryan Knott, I appreciate you coming on at Celebrity Hot Tub on Twitter. Shutdown Fullcast. Is there anywhere else we can find your stuff?
Nah, I mean, I'll probably pop up on some other podcast you're listening to against your will. So just keep an eye out for me.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to set the record for most podcast appearances this year.
My wife will be thrilled with that.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you making the time and coming on. Enjoy talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and we'll be right back. All right, big thanks to Ryan Nanny. Get his name right. I know his name. Apologize for possibly saying it wrong. Awesome guest, super funny. He's just one of those people on the Shutdown Fullcast, one of those podcasts where it's like, how do you even like think of this stuff? You know?
Yeah.
It's just like such a unique way of viewing things that we all passionately love. So hope you enjoyed the episode with him. I was stoked to have him on. And it was a really fun interview.
Yeah, no, it's cool. But yeah, that podcast is like, you know, if you like sports, but you know, I feel like a lot of us can sound repetitive, and that's a good way to get a different take.
Yeah, because it's, again, they do talk about football, like the Georgia National Championship. They did talk about, like, the Georgia offense and how Stetson fits into that. But it's not the most analytical podcast in the world either.
Yeah.
We're watching the Philly-Brooklyn basketball game, and Philly fans are just bananas. And I guess we're talking about Philly fans because we're talking about the NFC Championship right now.
Yeah, this will be a good segue.
I was in Philadelphia when they won the NFC Championship against Minnesota to go to the Super Bowl. And again, NFC Championship, big game, awesome. Not the Super Bowl. And they, like, I get to my Airbnb and I know Philly won, but I see people like climbing up telephone poles. And it was equivalent to when, like, I was in Barcelona and they won their last league game of the year.
Yeah.
It was just, or like a Warriors championship party in San Francisco.
Right.
And it's, they're just a unique group of people.
Yes. They, I was telling Jake this last week, I don't think on the podcast, but they had a dog out for halftime and the dog was catching Frisbees and the dog dropped one of the Frisbees. And so 65,000 people booed the dog. So, which is like, I'm all for boo. I don't even really love booing humans, but you can't boo a dog.
The dog probably doesn't even know it's bad.
I think it probably does.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Yeah, I think dogs pick up on that sort of thing.
Well, it's going to be a fun NFC Championship game.
It's going to be a great NFC Championship.
We got the best quarterback in the NFC and Jalen Hurts playing against each other. It's, you know, again, this is the first time the Niners and the Eagles have played each other in the playoffs, so I'm very nervous. I'm going to have to temper my reactions if it's not going great for the 49ers. I am interested to see Jalen Hurts versus the 49ers pass rush, because one of Jalen Hurts's, you know, pros is his mobility both in and out of the pocket. So I'm interested to see, you know, especially Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, how they handle that and how Jalen Hurts attacks them. That's like the Eagles offense and Hurts specifically versus the Niners defense in the front seven specifically is what I'm looking forward to the most.
And yeah, because I was kind of looking at it from the other perspective, simply because I feel like, you know, San Francisco is going to – the Eagles are not going to score as many points as they did against the Giants. They're going to slow us down somewhat no matter what. But I also feel like we're so talented and we have so many good offensive players that we're going to get, you know, around 20 points. I feel pretty confident. So I'm kind of looking at, you know – how does Brock Purdy respond to Hassan Riddick and Fletcher Cox? Because I feel like that is the more interesting matchup. Because now we got, you know, the next Joe Montana in. So, like, how is he going to respond against, you know, a good defensive line unlike the Cowboys?
I would say Joe Montana is just the old Brock Purdy more than Brock Purdy's the next Joe Montana.
Sure, yes, that makes sense.
It's going to be interesting, though, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I mean, well, I do worry with Jalen Hurts. Because, and I don't think we really got to see this with the Giants because we were winning so much that we just ran for like 1,500 yards that game. So I don't know that we saw how mobile Jalen Hurts is really going to be and how he's going to look injured. And I feel like the 49ers are going to bring that out much more than the Giants did. So yeah, we're going to figure out how healthy he really is.
Yeah, it should be fun. And speaking of unhealthy, in the AFC Championship, Patrick Mahomes has a high ankle sprain. Joe Burrow took a pretty big hit. My one thing I want to talk about here is people are saying, well, finally they're saying Joe Burrow's the second best quarterback behind Patrick Mahomes. And he always has been. He's always been better than Josh Allen. Josh Allen's great, but Joe Burrow's done more at every stage than Josh Allen. But people are saying if Joe Burrow beats Patrick Mahomes and the Bengals beat the Chiefs, that Joe Burrow will be the best quarterback. And I don't get why with Patrick Mahomes we're so quick to bring him down, where with other people we're so quick to make excuses to make them the best or bring them up a tier. It's like we forget, either we forget or we don't like Patrick Mahomes, but it's like no other player in the league is as good as he is. He's the most talented quarterback. I think it's fair to say he's the most talented quarterback in history. Not the best, most talented.
Well, not the best yet.
Yeah, I think he's on a good trajectory to have the argument.
Yeah,
you know, well, obviously he has to have a long, good career.
Right. Well, like, can you remember a time that a quarterback threw for 50 touchdowns and you didn't hear about it?
No, it's just like we've set this unrealistic expectation that he's meeting still, but where it's like, oh, Joe Burrow, oh, Josh Allen, oh, you know what I mean?
Gosh, yeah, I mean, like, even like with Michael Phelps, people would go nuts in races that he was easily going to win, and like we do this with, like Michael Jordan or LeBron James, people love to, you know, pump those guys up. And it's like, I don't know what the deal is, because he's not like Mike Trout that just doesn't want to be in commercials. He's in those State Farm commercials.
He's funny.
He's doing stuff. He's personable. Yeah.
So. He's almost as funny as Andy Reid in those commercials.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is fantastic.
He is fantastic. I think he's fantastic because he doesn't know what he's doing, whereas Patrick Mahomes is, like, genuinely funny.
Yeah.
And, like, Andy Reid is funny as an accident. But, yeah, it's weird. Like, we've done – and this is, like, obviously Messi is amazing, but I was kind of getting annoyed in the World Cup. It's like, geez, can we talk about some other players? And this is the opposite. Where it's like, why can't we ever talk about Patrick Mahomes?
And appreciate Mahomes. No, and Joe Burrow, like I said, I think he's, not counting Brock Purdy, the second best quarterback in the league. He's fantastic. He was the quarterback of arguably the best season. Cam Newton had the best individual season in college football, but Joe Burrow was part of that, probably the best season in college football history. Went to a Super Bowl in his first healthy year, could go back in his, or yeah, last year was his first healthy year, went to a Super Bowl, beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead, could do so again. He's going to have an awesome resume. He's a great player. Every girl's favorite player. He's just not as good. No one would pick Joe Burrow over Patrick Mahomes.
No. Yeah, absolutely
so, I don't think, and it sucks because like I don't want to be like a Joe Burrow hater. Joe Burrow's awesome. We just have to be realistic.
Yeah.
And that's been a theme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big for you.
Yeah. I'm big. And like we were talking about Daniel Jones, Duke former Duke player. I don't not like Daniel Jones because he went to Duke. I actually watched a lot of him because he went to Duke. I don't like Daniel Jones because people, especially Giants fans, are so quick to make excuses for him or whatever. And he's played much better this year than he has in the past. But he's not like – he's just not that good. He's like a fine quarterback with mediocre arm strength.
Yeah, well, it's like – and, you know, speaking of Josh Allen again, you'll have to remind me the guy who's a Giants coach now.
Dable.
Well, just like he takes over the Giant or the Bills, or at least the offensive coordinator, Josh Allen stops throwing interceptions, and then he leaves. He starts throwing interceptions again.
Lead the league.
Daniel Jones stops throwing interceptions now. But yeah, and we haven't really come back on Josh Allen at all. I mean, even and Bomani was talking about Josh Allen throwing interceptions, but I feel like he hasn't even come back on Josh Allen. I don't feel like Dominique Foxworth has come back on Josh Allen, and those were like the two biggest Josh Allen haters in the world. And so it's interesting. And so, like, and to your point with Daniel Jones, he's obviously got a great coach, and that shouldn't take away from him. But, you know, that's obviously part of it and why he's been able to have so much of a better year this year.
Yeah. Should we do the top five?
Yeah.
Yeah. So top five, here's what we're doing, Matt. And this is very subjective.
Okay.
Want to talk about that?
Sure.
But it's the best accents for girls to have.
Interesting. Okay.
Here's the list.
Here's the list. All right.
One, Triangle, North Carolina.
That specifically is, I don't know that that's much of an accent.
You don't think it's much of an accent?
I don't hear, well, simply because we went there that first time, and the Triangle, you know, is the college's NC State, University of North Carolina, UNC, and Duke. And so I feel like that is largely educated people, not everybody who lives in the Triangle, obviously, but I feel like that's a lot of people that don't have quite as strong a Southern accent.
But the people from there do. The people from Charlotte, maybe not, but the people from there do.
Yeah.
Like that waitress I went out with. Do you remember her?
I do remember her, yeah.
She had an accent.
She did, yeah. It's not as strong of a Southern accent as you're thinking. And maybe that's why you like it.
Yeah. I'm not saying these are the strongest accents. I'm saying these are my favorite ones for a girl to have.
Okay.
And I guess I usually go number five to number one, huh?
That's usually what you do, but we can go the other
way. I was just so excited. So forget that. We'll come back to that. So number five is Essex, England.
That's very specific.
Yeah. Well, like, because Northern England, they say, like, yous and us and we's when they're talking singular. I don't like that. So, like, a nice London, not like a Chelsea, like, posh Essex, but just like a normal. The guy's Essex accent, this is a lot of X sounds. The guys from Essex, their accents are annoying. But the girls, I think, big fan.
Interesting. Yes. So not Cockney, not posh.
No.
Somewhere in between.
In between.
Okay.
Number four, Sydney, Australia.
Okay. Not Perth, Australia.
No. Here's the thing. Watching Love Island, I'm, like, getting these accents dialed in.
Yes.
Of these, like, other countries.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. That's the only reason I know this. So it's not. Yeah. But, like, the Sydney, Australia accent, big fan. Mm-hmm. Number three, Georgia.
Okay.
Two, Eastern Tennessee, like, Knoxville area.
Okay.
Number one's the Triangle.
All right. Okay, so my problem is not so much with the ranking this time, but I need you to explain to me what is the difference between a Georgia accent and an Eastern Tennessee accent.
Like, I can't imitate them. Like,
sure, but like, what is?
Here's the thing: I think it's just like I'm thinking of specific girls that have had accents from these places.
I don't even think it's that. I just think you like those places. I think you want to go to Australia and you like North Carolina.
I do, but I didn't pick, like, I'd love to go to Newcastle. I didn't pick a Newcastle accent.
That's true. But do you know what a Newcastle accent even is?
Yeah, it's like they talk like yous and we's and, like, it's like, I can't imitate it. Like, I suck at accents, so I can't, like, do it.
Yes, one thing we like, not do on this podcast is accents.
If I heard an English person talking, I think I could say they're from, at least they're from the North or they're from the South.
Yeah. Well, that is something that Love Island will get you. Maybe I need to start watching the show.
You should not, actually. You wouldn't like it. It is a great show. I just know Matt wouldn't like it, but most people would like it. It's the new season started this week, airing on Hulu Monday the 30th.
Hey.
So some free advertisement there.
Well, I hope that everybody gets paired up with somebody that they like.
Yeah.
That's the show,
right? Just want everybody to be happy. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I want. Except not everybody can be happy, and they screw stuff up on purpose, right?
Well, it's not like The Bachelor where they're, like, just trying to manufacture drama.
Yeah.
Like, they do a little bit, but mostly it's just, like, people come in and, you know, based on who you're clicking with better, some people get booted off.
Yeah.
Which is what
it is. Which is how life works. You don't pair off with somebody and you get booted out.
Exactly.
That was sarcasm if the listeners didn't pick up on that.
Do you have any accents that girls have that you enjoy?
I gotta tell you, accent is at the bottom of the list.
See, I knew I'd get you on this one. I finally got one that you didn't have one for.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not so much. Yeah, I guess I don't have as much of an opinion. I'm still very confused about a lot of your opinions.
But here's the thing. So the East Tennessee one, there's a girl should I say this because I work? There's a girl I met, we'll say. And like I met her in like a more formal setting. And then she came and played kickball with us, and she was, like, much more relaxed, so her, like, East Tennessee accent came out. And, like, right away, I was, like, you know, zeroed in, like, I want to date you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well,
the accent is a big thing for me.
Hopefully she is listening to the podcast, then?
I mean, I don't know if she knows I'm talking about her. Well, no, she probably would, because there's not a lot of Tennessee
people. Yeah, how many Eastern Tennessee people are out here kickball?
There's
people?
Unfortunately not a lot of girls in Utah from, like, Knoxville or Chapel Hill or Atlanta.
Shoot, well, now I wish that I hadn't torn my hamstring and I finished out the season and I knew who you were talking about.
I mean, that was a you problem.
Yeah.
We missed you.
It was a bummer. And I was pretty good at kickball.
You're better than me. Yeah, for sure. So that's the top five. Matt didn't have one, which I finally won. Big episode. So big top five. Big week for Matt and I with the Eagles Niners playing. Appreciate Ryan Nanny coming on the show. That was one of the funniest guests we've had. Again, if you haven't subscribed, left a 5-star, please do so. Really help us out. We'll talk to you guys next week.